This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one rock boy. Rugby reference. The number one cuck boy. Formerly topical reference. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur. Arthur, give him a shout out, bud. Just licking his paws at this moment, and that's all you can get from him. And also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, first-time guests, like most people, guys, Jackie Ray Aubel and Amanda Salvatore. Yes.
What?
Thank you. Yeah. Crumple that paper.
That was beautiful.
With two people, I'm always worried I'm going to get the last names flipped when they're strangers, when they're new people.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
And I also have close friends whose last names I can't pronounce, and I am too embarrassed to even ask them. You guys,
That's the worst, because you can't even ask after, there's a certain amount of time that you can ask, and then after that, it's like, oh,
then you just like ask them to introduce themselves, like you have little tricks that you try and get them to say
like,
their full name.
Oh, this is my friend, and then you don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my wife knows, and I'm sorry if anyone from parties I've been at hears this, but my wife knows if I go, this is my wife, Tiffany, and I don't say that person's name, then Tiffany goes, he's so bad at introducing people. What was your name? And we have like a little team like that.
I like
that. That's really sweet. That's what you need in a partner. It's like, when we're at a party together, will you like follow my bit and help me find the name of this person that I don't like?
You'll know I meet a lot of fucking randos, and because I have 25 different jobs a month to whatever. I'm just saying that like I book a lot, but what I mean is I don't have any real career. I just am making this all work somehow. Guys, before we get into our today's topic, which is day jobs, I'd like to read some roasts on the podcast. So as always, listeners, if you rate me 5 stars on the iTunes app or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now, I will read it. So rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments and we'll see it. Okay, this is from Keith Buff, titled the review, Something I Noticed. John Serbag calls himself the number one cuck boy whenever there's an attractive man as the guest. Interesting, but to be fair, I just did it today as well.
You did do it today.
And I don't always do it. Number one ruck boy, that was the first time today. I'm really getting out there.
I don't know what any of those are, actually.
That's fine. You don't know what a cuck is.
No.
It's short for cuckolding, and I'm going to be the guy to explain this to you.
Please do.
Cuckolding is when someone fucks your wife in front of you or your partner in front of you.
Yes, sure.
And it's a fetish of some people, or at least a performative fetish for the sake of pornography.
Yeah.
But some people like to see their partner have sex with someone else, and that person is being cuckolded or cucked. And that's, alt-right sort of appropriated that term to like call guys cucks. That guy's a fucking cuck, you know? So I've been called.
Yeah,
I dig it. It's great.
Good
I think
for
that's
you.
Awesome.
And I think you should not fault someone if they want their wife or partner or to be have sex with someone else in front of them. If that's how you get your rocks off. If everyone's cool with it, get after it.
As long as there's consent. That's all that matters.
That's all I care about. You do you. Live your best life.
When you come to High and Mighty, you come for sexual lessons from guy who's slept with 3 women in his life.
There you go. I'm 32. I need to catch up. Like, I need to know what the fuck all of those things
You need
mean.
To sleep with 3 women in your life?
I do need to sleep with 3 women in my life and find out, like, half of the things you said in the intro.
And then rucking is a rugby term, which is a sport I played. And it's sort of like just shoving someone out of the way so you can get the ball. But it has a specific name.
Also,
rugby
sounds
like
great.
Football, but without any of the padding.
Yes.
Right?
It's like a blend between football and soccer. Yeah.
It's
you
like
wear just
dangerous.
A mouthpiece. Yeah. It's actually, and not to get on my little mini soapbox, way lower concussion rate than American football because no one's wearing helmets, which would make you think. But then you can't also tackle someone dangerously because you'll hurt yourself. So there's like incentive to not run headfirst into people. And
because
there's not the constant contact of like the offensive line in football.
Got
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Less
sports
padding.
And sex, by the way, 2 things that I literally am not actually good at. And now I'm taking the position of informed and explaining them to you.
Every day I try and learn something new. And I feel like I've learned two new things in the span of the last 4 minutes.
I feel like I'm going to get called out for having 2 women on the podcast and then immediately being like, well, I used to play sports and I
You're
fucked
not even,
three
like-
women.
That's
Whoa!
A,
Oh, excuse me, mister.
I'm pretty proud of you, to be honest.
You sound like every person I've had sex with, so... I mean, whatever.
I've only had sex with three people. I'm like, you said that to me last time we fucked last year. No one in between? Liar. Okay, this is from Zara B. Sorry if I mispronounced that. The fattest thing ever said out loud. The story about how you ate Thin Mints in lieu of brushing your teeth was the fattest thing I think you've ever said on the podcast. 5 stars, never miss an episode. Proud action, boys, boy.
Were they frozen?
Of course.
I've totally done that.
It feels like it's good
enough. It's great. Yeah. My first kiss with my high school boyfriend, we each ate a sleeve of Thin Mints. And I'm pretty convinced it was because we knew that kiss was going to go down.
Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every time I eat a Thin Mint, I think of Greg Acero. There you go.
The guy from Disaster Artist?
Exactly.
Oh, that's really fun. Now you have like a Pavlovian response to Thin Mints.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been kicked out of a number of Girl Scouts.
Yeah, they were like, no more cookies for you. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get back my youth.
What is your favorite Girl Scout cookie while we're on the topic?
Thin Mint, definitely.
Thin Mint is like their...
It's the classic. Yeah.
It's their...
I like a Samoa, but not too many.
No, you know, I hate Samoas.
You really?
I truly
mean the ethnicity.
Yes. I actually mean the people. The cookie is so
Samoas
good.
Or is it samosas?
Samoas?
Oh, samosas.
Samosas. What did I say?
I said Samoas.
Oh.
But that's fair. That's what the people are. Samoans.
Okay.
The country is Samoa. People are Samoan.
Got it.
Candy. The cookie might have been Samoa's originally, and maybe they switched it.
Perhaps.
Because that's in my head, too. Or it could be just one of those Berenstein Bear Mandela effect type things that we're having. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But either way, those cookies suck. So yeah.
What
I
about
like
tagalongs?
Tagalongs are good.
Those are the peanut butter ones.
Tagalongs are really good. I'm all about it.
I think Thin Mints is the across the board everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
Mint is a controversial dessert.
I love mint.
I don't
know
why.
All the time.
We talk about this all the time. We love savory ice cream flavors.
Oh,
it's
me
true.
Too.
Like honey lavender. Well, honey's is kind of sweet, but I love like fun.
Wait, honey lavender? You mean from Rose's Creamery on 3rd Avenue?
That's right where I live. That's where I came from today.
If anyone wants to kill Amanda, just hang around.
My wife loves the Earl Grey tea ice cream.
Yes,
from
that
there.
One is amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm a little hesitant. I don't like the frou-frou flavors, and not because I'm like Tim Allen, like Tool Time or whatever. It's just like
he hated ice cream flavors that were frou-frou-y.
Was that a character game of his?
Definitely. Every time his wife brought home ice cream, he was like, none of this lavender shit.
Remember Jonathan Taylor Thomas one time gets whipped
Jonathan
in the head
Taylor
with mint chocolate chip scoop?
Yeah. I don't remember actually. I remember I watched that show. I don't actually remember any of the plot points of that show.
I just remember how it ended.
And how did it end?
I think they like took the house with them.
They
drove it away, but there were cartoons of themselves, and that's how they ended it. I think
that might
be. I can't look
credits.
On my phone. I can't look on my phone.
That
so that that's
might
how
be the
that's
credits.
How it fucking ended, you guys.
Was Tim Allen on a lot of cocaine for that?
He had to have been,
right? Because he had a huge coke problem.
Well, he was like arrested, right, for like having again. Of
I
course,
think,
since we can't
yes.
look at it, I think he got pulled over. Fucked up out of his mind and had like a bunch of coke in the car and got
probably.
Arrested for it before Tool Time, and then like kind of cooled off and became a
family
like
guy.
A family
yeah
oh, okay so this was before
and then he became a man with a plan. No, that was Joey Tribbiani. He became
The
Last Man Standing.
Oh,
that was the most recent Tim Allen multicam sitcom.
Oh it was.
Do you know how many
it went great.
Do you know how many TV shows have 7 seasons and people like myself who watch a shit ton of TV still don't know about them?
Which
that had
amazing.
7 seasons.
Yeah, like, The Last Man Standing had to have had like 5 or 6 seasons. I never watched one episode of Anger Management.
No.
With Charlie Sheen. That
I
had
never
like 100 episodes.
No.
Yeah.
There was a period in my childhood where we didn't have cable or like we didn't have TV for a while. So I missed out on like a good chunk of shows from like 2003 to like 2009.
Oh, yeah, that's a good chunk.
Yeah, that's
of
a good chunk. Yeah.
Those are some years, basically.
I don't think you, honestly, I don't know what came out around then, but I don't know if you missed much.
The Wire.
The
I
Wire.
Think
I just
oh,
watched
the
Wire for the first
Wire.
Time the last year, and I love it.
She's
I'm
been trying to get me
it.
To watch it. And
I like you just said for the first time, I know you mean like I hadn't seen it before, but it does mean you Subconsciously means you're going to rewatch it at some point. I'm trying to get my wife to, like, she's not into sad stuff right now, which maybe I'm laying out too much information about her life, but
well, I think that's a lot of people, like the climate.
Yeah, the climate. We're watching mostly popcorny stuff. I can't get into like sad. Like,
what are you watching? Now?
Oh, Queer Eye is like my life changing.
I just finished it. I finished it in 2 days.
I cried every episode. Yes, I cried watching Ugly Delicious. By the way, another show I'm upset.
This sounds like we're just doing Netflix promos, but.
I will totally support that. Like, I can't watch The Handmaid's Tale. No, people are like trying to get me to fucking watch that, and I'm like, no, it's too sad.
I haven't watched it yet either.
It's the most depressing thing possibly ever.
I don't want to watch it.
It's a bummer. It's a big bummer. Yeah, if Ugly Delicious makes you cry,
what's Ugly Delicious about?
It's David Chang's, like, the guy who did Momofuku. His like sort of. He goes to see, like, each episode, like, the first episode is pizza, and he goes around and says, like, what is technically pizza, and, like, goes to people who are pushing the limits of, like, is this considered pizza? But he's so opinionated and so, like, Korean-American. Like, it's such an interesting point of view. He's so adamant about things, and it's so...
You never see a host go, no.
I disagree. And he, like, will straight up say it to people he's invited on. It's really cool.
Really?
I heard that he's kind of a dick. I know somebody who worked at Momofuku for like a hot second. Yeah. And was like, he's a dick. And I'm like, no kidding.
You can kind of see that.
You can see when he does the, in that episode, they do the Domino's pizza run.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not fucking doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, no more. I'm not
doing this. Really? Okay,
with the owner of Lucali, the guy, the pizzeria in Brooklyn, which I used to live by that. I know you're from Queens.
I lived in Brooklyn, too. I lived in Manhattan.
What part of Brooklyn did you live in?
I lived, first I lived in Ditmas Park.
Ooh.
Very hip. And then I moved to Williamsburg the last couple of months I was in New York.
I lived at South 4th in between Bedford and Berry when I first moved there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And then I moved to Carroll Gardens for like 7 years.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I've been living in apartments for 15 years, but I think only in three, which is pretty wild.
That's pretty impressive, dude.
I've had 7 addresses in the last 6 years.
Jesus.
I know. Are you exhausted?
And 5 different last names, right? You've been divorced.
I've been divorced. But I've killed all of my husbands.
Yeah. They call me White Widow.
They call me White Widow because I'm very white.
One last review, and then let's get into the topic. And again, of course, I should read these. This is from FatKid60, and the title of the review is Dog Dad. I feel for Arthur the most. Your wife will bounce back super quick, of course, but Arthur won't understand why his dad is dead from poor life decisions. He'll just know that you aren't there, shoveling away obscene amounts of Taco Bell while he darts about for crumbs that cascade from your beard. I subscribe to support Arthur. Okay.
Aww.
Thank you, FatKid60. That's very nice.
Very thoughtful of Arthur.
Arthur's a sweetie pie.
Oh, he's the sweetest little angel, and he's getting old, and he's 8 now.
Oh my God, he's so old.
Yeah. I don't know if 8 is old for his breed. I think that, you know, they live to like their early teens, but he's changed in the last year or two. He's gotten like behaviorally older. He's a little crankier, he doesn't run as much on when we go out anymore, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't like other dogs as much as he used to. He's kind of just becoming a little bit of a prick.
But also
he could just be like in going into his teen-tude phase, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe he's going to live forever?
Yeah, there you go. He looks about right.
My old roommate has a pug terrier mix, and her name is Sophie, and she's 14.
Oh, yes.
So you might...
There's some hope.
Yeah. Bless up, Artie. Bless up. Oh, you heard me knock? No one's here. All right. Well, guys... As always, rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments. I'll read it on air. Don't you want to hear your Apple Podcast handle read out loud? Ooh. Don't you want to hurt my feelings, listeners? Please do
That's really good. I feel like we should steal that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Oh, yeah. It's a obvious 5-star grab.
Yeah.
Barstool Sports, I think, that podcast actually stole that from me.
Did they really?
Shut up.
Yeah,
really?
They started doing it. Now my podcast started before theirs and people pointed it out.
If we start doing it and then we give you credit before each segment, will that be okay?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Why don't they we'll just have them roast you, but for our podcast.
If you read roasts of me on your podcast,
that's
guilty
all we'll
pleasures. If you read my, that would be amazing.
You got it.
As a narcissist who has thick skin, the fact that people are roasting me is just, I'm excited people are talking about me.
Yeah.
So I don't get shit talk me. Do two episodes about me and how fucking weird it was coming here.
Considering done. Yeah, we got like greeted by a dog. His house is beautiful. It's the fucking worst.
A group of sketchballs.
He offered us water. What the fuck?
I'm a monster. Legit monster. But guys, enough about me. I'll interject that plenty more as this podcast goes on. You guys, I asked what topic you guys want to talk about. You mentioned day jobs.
Day jobs.
Is that because, do you guys currently have day jobs?
That we do.
Ooh, exciting, yes. Exciting.
And by day job, a job.
Yeah, my day job. I mean, Amanda and I, we host a podcast. We're on a sketch team. We do a bunch of other comedic things.
But you work full time.
But we work full time. Yeah. Yes. And we've been working full time since we've been doing comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I love making money. Money's great.
Money's awesome.
Oh,
I love it.
It's fantastic.
My favorite thing.
Yeah. I wish I had more of it as I've gotten older. I realized that putting some away would have been ideal.
I'm terrified about like. When do people retire? Like 60?
Well, that's the thing.
Which is really
so interesting.
Much closer than I think it is.
Well, no, I don't think we're going to retire when we're 60. I think we're going to like work until we die. Right. I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, I think with comedy, you can do it in your retirement years.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to be successful, you can like still go out, I guess, and audition in your 70s, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need old people in movies.
Yeah. How many old 70-year-olds are there anyway?
Yeah, they all
There's
dying.
Like four. Yeah, they're all, every month. New 70-year-olds.
I gotta hope
up.
All the fat bearded guys die because they're fat and bearded by the time they're like 60 and I for some reason outlive them. Then I finally start really booking work.
You're gonna get all those Santa gigs.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. Your dream.
It's I think I tweeted that last year. I'm like, oh, it's the end of November, which means here comes the offers for Santa roles in Funny or Die or College Humor videos.
Noted. We'll ask you to be in our Santa sketch that we'll undoubtedly
write. We'll
write
you one. We'll let you
please.
Know.
So we chose day jobs because you know we both have them. I do social media for a software company, which is you know a thing that
it's
happens.
Super
it's a
fancy,
job that people
Jackie's building
a job
is
that people have.
Beautiful.
You know but what I appreciate you didn't do there that a lot of people with day jobs that also do art in their you didn't try to connect like why. Because I feel like with day jobs, and I did it too, a lot of people would be like, I do social media for a software company, so I get to do like a lot of writing and kind of engage, you know, it's like you like segued into like, so it's kind of exactly what I want to do in life. Like people.
I'm
like,
super happy. No, I'm really, I'm fucking happy.
It's pretty much a staff writing job on a sitcom, but I don't have to deal with all that drama.
I moved out to Los Angeles to write for television and I'm just writing tweets for this software company. I mean, tomato, tomato.
At least I'm
no,
getting
every
paid
time
to write.
I send a tweet, I die on the inside. I hate Twitter. I hate Facebook. I hate Instagram. I hate.
And you're constantly using
I'm
it for
constantly
work,
yeah. on it. Like, everyone's like, oh, like on, but like literally, I'm on Facebook all the time. So I can tell you all this really cool stuff about all the data that Facebook collects on you because I do Facebook ads and stuff. And it is scary, y'all.
It's 1984.
It is 1980 fucking four.
That's wild.
Like I can geo-target people like through lists and stuff. Like marketing is fucking
crazy,
man.
My wife works in marketing as well. And she's told me like, you know, she doesn't even work in that level of social, but the info you can get on someone like you can like geo track them like after like MoviePass keeps track of where you go after you get out of the movie theater.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the app.
Fuck everything. I hate that.
That's so
terrifying.
Crazy. And it's like this guy likes to sit in his car in the parking lot of the Grove for 1 hour before the movie, and then
just
he goes
judging you.
Yeah,
you're like, listen, like, I'm smoking a blunt. Leave me alone. All of a sudden, you just get like stoner movies. They're just like, no, you're gonna totally want to watch this.
Oh, I hate when one of these algorithms has me figured out.
Oh my god,
can I tell you? Can I tell you? So we share the Guilty Pleasure Podcast Instagram account. We both have access to it. We're in our late 20s, low 30s, and we got a targeted...
We just call that the super late 20s.
Yeah,
you know?
That's where I'm at right
we
now.
We got a targeted ad on the Guilty Pleasure Podcast account for selling your eggs.
Ooh.
All the time.
And that was
all
like,
the time.
That's just so funny.
They know that we don't want to have babies. They're just like, you want that sweet, sweet cash.
You want
Make
that.
It now before you get to those late 30s.
Those late 30s. No one wants your late 30s eggs.
Yeah,
nobody wants
old
eggs. Nobody needs poached.
Yeah,
we like them yolky.
Ooh.
I just grossed
my That's actually how your uterus works. So
it's, I know. I'm a married man. Yeah, I've seen my wife lay a number of eggs into the toilet. Thank you. She's like, hun, I'm ovulating, and then a giant ostrich egg drops, then I fuck that. It's very complicated.
It's part of
it's the pagan
cuckold situation. It's pagan. It's a pagan fetish. It's pretty cool.
It's pagan.
Do you guys have, and we'll get to more about your day jobs because we haven't even mentioned yours, but it made me think of something. Do you guys get a little bit of bitterness? Because I was a day job guy for a long time until I was able to not. Now I have a new day job, and that's hosting podcasts. But for a while, my day job I was working at as a PA on a bunch of different shit. And I had friends when I was coming up at UCB who didn't have to work, who were NYU kids. So they were in college, so they had a college schedule, or their parents lived like nearby, or they came from a wealthy family and got put up in an apartment, or their family lived in the city. I had such envy that I had to like truly get over it to evolve. Like I had to just say, people have different situations. My situation is good for me.
So you did UCB in New York?
Yes.
So I did too. And that was like a whole thing, being like a New York City native at UCB.
Right, because it's like, kids from every... Yeah.
Yeah, because you have kids that are coming from everywhere. And it was... I had that same... I still have it. I still totally struggle with it when there's people that we meet now that don't have to work. Or like,
that's a very Los Angeles thing. I don't think anyone actually has a job here. I just... I have my wife says that
all the time. She's like, I tried to run an errand at lunch. What do you guys do all day? How are you free?
Why is there traffic at 1 p.m.? Aren't you supposed to be at the job that you work at?
Yeah, I will say my counter-argument to that is I think there's a high number of people that do not have anything to do with their days officially. Like work to be at. But I also think this is a city of swing shifts too. You know, any major city has that, but especially like a restaurant and bar type city. Like New York has it. The people who are at 1 o'clock could be driving to work is my defense. But at the same time, there are a plethora of people where I'm like, I wonder what my neighbors think. You know, I work maybe one day a week where I'm gone or something like that. But they just see me in sweatpants, smoking joints in the driveway, and then having random strangers show up at my door and come on in. Oh. They might think I'm a drug dealer or a gigolo.
Or a prostitute. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Or a prostitute.
Like, good for you.
I mostly fuck fat dudes in cargo shorts that come over to do that.
Gotta have those extra pockets, man.
Artie, get off the table.
I mean, like, I kind of feel that when I hear somebody doesn't pay rent, that pisses me off because so much of my money goes to rent.
Because we chose to live in major cities. Yeah.
And it's just inevitably, I just keep picking expensive places to live. And, you know, I have to pay the rent in full and whatever. Yeah. And there's just people who've lucked out. But I mean, that's also like a source of pride. I think it's like changing the way that you think about it and just being like, I'm a badass motherfucker that I can pay my rent and not ask my mom and dad. Yeah. Fuck you.
That's kind of what you're saying, what I meant to say, or like you're articulating it way better. Surprise,
Gosh, thank you. But thank you.
Like when I was like, I had to learn to say like the fact that I do work is a positive thing. Not that it's negative that they don't work.
Yeah.
It's more like whatever that's lucky. If my kid wants to be an actor and I can afford to like not make them have to get a day job, maybe I'll do that. Can't say I wouldn't like support your kids' dreams, but I came from like a poor family, so I'm from Long Island, so I could have lived at home and worked in the city.
How long would that have taken you?
It was only like a 45 minute commute. It's not terrible from but at the same time I could not live with my mom any longer, so I was just like, fuck this.
I know my Ditmas Park apartment was just like, I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Like equidistant from Manhattan as Flushing is.
Basically.
But still, it just, because that's my mom and dad were like, just stay home for another year and save your money. And I was like, no fucking way.
No, that's how I was in college. My college was a half hour away from my parents' house. And I was still like, I'm living there. I don't give a fuck. And everyone in my college would leave weekend after weekend because everyone was pretty local.
What school is this?
It's DeSales University. It's in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know Allentown via Billy Joel only, but I appreciate it.
I love Billy Joel.
That's how my parents at 6 years old told me we were moving. They're like, listen to this super depressing song. We're going to live there.
Hey, you know how it sounds like an awful place to live?
Yeah.
We're moving.
Remember, like at the end, he's like, I'm not even going to get out of bed because life is depressing. Yeah. That's going to be your life for the majority of it.
Hey, Mom, Dad, I think we both had a different read on this song. Yeah, doesn't Billy sound sad about it?
Doesn't he sound really bummed out? No? Does he not commit suicide at the end? But yeah, I mean, like, every weekend I would, like, stay in my room by myself and just try to have, like, a quote-unquote college experience.
Like who is getting drinks in town?
Yeah, I'm like, hi, who can, anybody, Smirnoff Ice? No? Nothing? Okay,
it's just
sit
like
here
all
and cry.
Of these, like,
I got two sleeves of Thin Mints, boys.
You just have all these, like, blue-collar workers who are just, like, going to the bars after, yeah, like, just,
drinking a pint with a raw egg in it at 9 a.m.
Like
with a bunch
wire.
Of... yeah, that's what I know that specific from season two, the docs.
Yeah.
If Artie's ever annoying you at some point, just let me know.
No, he's not annoying me at all. I want a dog so bad and I can't have one.
Take me home, take me out of here, please.
I can't have one because my apartment doesn't allow doggies. Oh.
Which is such a surprise in LA. Everybody should just be like,
dude,
have a dog.
I was looking
it's
for,
Los Angeles.
When I was looking for my new apartment, if I was like, dogs allowed, it would remove 70% of the fucking things I could look at. It was ridiculous.
And it's crazy. And it's like, we have a dog that lives in this house. Doesn't look like a dog is in this house.
No, not at
all. We take care of our shit. I think landlords just assume they're going to be loud or destroy the place.
Well, there was one apartment I did look at that was kind of near here when I was moving. And, you know, it was reasonably priced. And I was like, great. And the entire time I was looking at the apartment, I could hear two chihuahuas just barking nonstop next door. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not living here.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think... a few apartments around here are dog friendly because this is a dog heavy neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a walking neighborhood too. But these two buildings that kind of share a driveway here, it's like 20 apartments. I would say 12 of them have dogs. At night, if one of them gets started, it could sound like a fucking Disney movie. They're like all shouting to each other from the window. When I first moved here, someone had a parrot and a dog.
Or a
bird and a dog. I shouldn't say parrot.
Was the parrot really that loud that you were like, fuck
they
that
They left the window
parrot.
Open. I was like, ah! And then the dog would be like, oh, and then like another dog would be like, oh, and it would just literally be like some sort of weird
like
concerto. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, there are wild parrots where I live right now.
What?
I've seen them up in the fucking wires. Do you live in Los Feliz? Or
I live in Highland Park.
Highland Park. Okay. Yeah.
They and have wild parrots?
Yeah. Well, one morning I woke up. I was like, what the fuck is that noise? And then I go to the window and I'm like, there's three fucking parrots on those telephone poles.
That's fucking amazing.
He's living in paradise. Also, your view is gorgeous too. Oh, I wouldn't mind hearing a. I don't. Are parrots annoying? Like I've never really.
I love my view. Great. I don't mind.
I love my view.
I love
parrots.
My view. I love
I'm
my
a
parrots.
Big Jimmy Buffett guy. I love to just pour myself a margarita, slap on my old flip flops, and watch.
I don't have coffee in the morning. I just make a frozen margarita, and I look
my
at
coworkers
the parrots.
Think I'm a nightmare.
Just drunk
crash my
all
card
the time.
On the way to work several times.
But it's okay. It's just a day job. It's not what I really wanted to.
Bad news, guys. Sexual performance issues are more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40. That's a quarter of the new cases. 40% of men by age 40 struggle from being able to get and maintain an erection. So that's all the bad news. But the good news is 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Here's how it works. ED is now optional because Hims can connect you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions. So it's, you know, well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions. So it's not the name brand, but it is the exact same materials so that it costs you less but works just as well. There's no snake oil. You don't buy anything at the gas station. There's no ground up goat horn or anything like that. It's all prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no doctor's visits, no lines. You just go to 4hims.com. It's so easy. Answer a few questions, then you chat with a doctor for a review, and then you get the product shipped directly to your door. This isn't like just old billionaires with 20-year-old trophy wives who have this issue. It affects men in their 30s and 40s. So get yourself together so you can perform your best, you know? It's hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. I know I'm not supposed to use their exact copy, but that's really funny. Hard made easy? Say hello to your little friend. So do me a favor. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This will cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/mighty5. That's 4hims.com/mighty5. 4hims.com/mighty5. FORHIMS.com/MIGHTY5.
Hey, mighty.
Now, Amanda, what about you? You have a day job.
I do have a day job. I am a writer's PA.
Oh.
So her day job's a little bit more aligned.
Mine is definitely making sure all the Coca-Colas are in the mini fridges. Yeah. And
and LaCroix.
Sure. So many
LaCroix in writers' rooms. That's where I found them.
Yeah, is that, you're just like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's like a soda, but not. Great.
It's like a soda, but I can have 10 and not have diarrhea. Perfect.
I have a wall of LaCroix at my office because I work, it's a tech startup, so there's fucking shit, you know, and they have like a wall of LaCroix, and I'm like, what if it came, like, people will have about 5 LaCroix a day, myself included. Yeah. I just hope that some study doesn't come out like 5 years from now that's like LaCroix is giving everyone cancer.
Yeah, here's hoping not.
I'm trying not to drink, and I went to like a party, and I had seltzer the whole time because I was like, all right, don't have any alcohol.
Yeah.
But then I didn't realize how much I used drinking as like a device to navigate parties.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Where I'd be like, oh, I actually need to get another one. Like, or I'd finish it and be like, let me move. I'm sorry. I'll catch up with you in a minute. I got to go to the bathroom, or I got to go fill this up.
I do the bathroom. The bathroom's a great excuse. Yeah. Nobody's going to ask you about it.
I took 12 shits at any work party.
I got to take another work shit.
I think Amanda has
me.
IBS.
Yeah. What's wrong with Amanda?
She keeps disappearing for minutes at a time saying, oh, I should go to the bathroom. So I found myself drinking so many seltzers. I got stoned too, but I drank so many seltzers that on the Uber ride home, I was like actually sick. And like, I had like so many seltzers. I was so gassy. I was like, you know, like one of those kind of burps.
It'll do that to you though.
And the driver was like, are you okay? I was like, I swear it was seltzer. I'm not drunk. I wish I was drunk. I'd be better off right now.
Yeah, man.
It was a really weird experience.
Do you find that when you get stoned, it's easier to not drink?
Yes.
Same here.
Yeah. That is what I've done, is replace one vice with another.
Yeah,
but this vice has less calories.
Yeah, it has less calories, and it also makes you more chill.
Yeah, and
a better hang.
And the next morning is much easier.
So much easier.
I'm trying to get I talk about this all the time. I'm trying to get my wife to transition from alcohol to weed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she just can't do it.
No?
And I think she will eventually, because she gets frustrated. Because
you're forcing her to. You're like, listen, I got rid of all the alcohol.
Yeah. No, it's more like she sees me go like, we're not drinking time. I'm like, okay, well, I'm still going to take a hit before dinner. And then she sees me be like mellow, and she's like, I wish I liked weed. And I'm like,
you should start her off with edibles, like CBD edibles.
I think that's what fucked her up, was the first time we ever got high, she ate edibles that our friend used to make back in New York.
I was like, I'm
tripping balls, but I'm a stoner, so I can handle it. And my wife was like, I don't know what's real and fake anymore. I was like, Oh, okay.
I have a bad edible story from New York, from like a kid who made them in an Easy Bake Oven, like in his treehouse in Malba. And like, I got so ridiculously high, I didn't try it for years. And then I came out here, and then I kind of like eased my way into
it. Now you figured it out.
Yeah. I feel like if you're not a stoner and like you're not used to it, edibles are really tough to navigate. Because you don't know how much you're supposed to fucking eat. I ate a candy once, and you think like it's a candy. You have one.
Yeah.
And it was like a ribbon candy. And I went to go see a UCB show in Chelsea, and I was with my improv team at the time, and I grabbed one of the guys, and I was like, I am so fucking high right now. If I start tweaking out, please walk out with me, because I don't even know where I am right now. And then I told my friend, I was like, I had one of those candies. He's like, well, how much did you have? The whole thing. Why wouldn't I have
and
the whole
like,
thing?
And he's like, that was 1,000 milligrams of
are
THC.
Crazy? How are you still alive?
They put it as one piece so that you know to cut it up into 10.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what?
Fuck. It was rough. But it didn't bother me. I just smoked the next day. Like, I've never had that bad of an experience that I was like, I won't do that again.
But now, after you've been doing it for a while, don't you like, oh man, I would love to get that high again one time.
Totally.
I don't like, I'm so,
oh yeah.
I'm like, when my wife's tough. Like, I'm really fucked up. I'm like, oh, I'm killed to feel that.
Like, I have like a light buzz. That's the worst. Or when it really like, you get like a little high, and you think you're going to get more high, and then you trail off and you're just exhausted for the rest of the day. You're like, fuck you, that wasn't even worth it.
My family, we call it chasing the dragon. Obviously, that's what they call most drugs. But we talk about like the fifth time you go to Blaze in a day. Like if you're like, it's the time in between gets shorter and shorter. It's like, get high, 2.5 hours later, you're like, oh, I should get high again.
Yeah.
1 hour and 15 minutes later, 40 minutes later, until it's like you're just chain smoking joints. It's, like, well, like, I can't get high.
I still have a pretty low tolerance, I guess, because I'll have a joint that'll last me a whole week.
Oh, God, I miss those days. When I first moved to LA,
these bad boys. Oh, sorry to cut you off.
No,
I have these bad boys,
do.
Tarantulas for when I need to, like, Jesus, step my level up. They have, like, keef and hash oil on them.
Oh, shit. Ooh, I don't fuck with keef.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. Just, like, look at that.
That's
thing.
So pretty.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It smells so good. I'm a little disappointed in myself that at 32 I'm smelling a joint and being like, oh my God.
I think it's okay because I think now that it's legal here, we can pretend like it's wine.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, we can totally talk about it like the way people talk about beer and wine.
Oh no, that's, I think it definitely changes the culture a bit.
It's more accepted.
And like, if it's a California-based company that you work for now, I don't think that they can. But if your company is like, if you work for a company that has multiple locations throughout the country, then they can still
drug test.
They can still drug test you and get you down. But if you're California-based, like, you're golden.
That's awesome. Maybe I will get a day job.
Yeah, do that. Be like, you're only in California.
I can get up
right?
early now, too. Hey, I've been getting waking up early. I'm like, now.
Look at you go.
Now that I'm 36 years old, I'm finally ready to have a steady
job. Hey, if you want to work for a software company in Glendale, let me know.
I will call you if after this last pilot season, and we'll see how this next couple months go. You don't.
If you want
to say anything to me like that, because I'll maybe be like, you were saying, like, so you just tweet a lot? I do that. I can do that. No drug tests? Glendale? All right, yeah, I'll see you later.
Glendale? Really good health care, free lunches every day.
Oh, fuck. See, that's the shit I like about office jobs. Also, I share a bank account, so I get to see, like, my wife has a direct deposit that comes in every 2 weeks for the last 15 years that we've been together.
Oh, that's probably a really nice direct deposit.
It's enjoyable to see because I don't have that. And so it's like,
it does exist. Money's great.
I'm like, oh, you can get it like regular. And so I'm at the level in my career where I don't need a day job because I can kind of make it work. And this year was way worse than previous years, but I can kind of make it work. Thank God my wife is wealthy and kicks ass. She's not wealthy, but she makes a lot of money.
She's filthy rich.
She's
filthy just rich.
She's filthy. And
she's
that's
a Colombian drug lord.
All you need to know is that this bitch is filthy. And I have, like, lately I've been saying, like, man, if I could just get, like, one good bartending gig, like a one day a week. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're finally a non-day job guy. And now I'm dying for a day job. I'm dying for, like, a steady income.
Do you miss like a structure? Is that what you're missing as well?
I think I've recently instilled a structure into my life, which is
how did you fucking do that? I'm dying to know. So, because if I have a day off, I'm like, fuck it.
And also, your job's about to wind down for a while, right?
Right, because you go on those hiatus. I did that freelance life for a while in New York when I would have like a few. And I did it when I first moved here, too, because I had to take jobs. But like, you'd have like 2 weeks off, 4 weeks off.
We have unpaid. Like this weird, it's like the office is open, but also you don't have to come in. But like, you should probably come in.
But they're not paying you, right?
They are.
Oh, okay.
But it's okay, but do I have to? You know, do I have to drive the 35 minutes? You know, I'm such a wuss about it.
Yeah. Well, if you have structure.
It's not bad. I would love to have like a structure of like, I wake up, I go on a hike, I get home, I do something. And then like by 6 o'clock, I'm like, all right, light a joint, watch some TV and like call it a night, as opposed to like kind of do stuff all day. And then like at 7 o'clock, feel guilty about not accomplishing
That's my day to day. That's my every single day. I actually just recently started therapy to like talk about stuff like
really?
That.
Really? Oh, I love therapy. Because that's where I feel like I'm at.
Well, here's the thing. You have the right to be like that because you have a day job.
Like, yeah, it's hard for me to admit that, though.
Right.
It's
if you
hard
have
to be
a
like,
job, you can blow off your day off because it is your day off.
Yeah.
Like, when you don't, like, any day can be a day off for me, almost. You know what I mean? Like, I now have recently, as part of my structure thing, has been trying to schedule something every day.
Nice.
Because I have fucking 3 podcasts, so I can get stuff done at any given moment. Yeah. So I'm always like, oh, let me put a little schedule. Let me make, and now I have an alarm I set, and I wake up early and try to go to the gym in the morning.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's all new. It's all new to me, and I have been without a day job for 8 or 9 years. You know
that's
what I mean?
So,
and
I'm like, I'm super proud of
you. And I'm just getting
you.
Around to figuring it out. I just was like, should I take this stuff seriously? Like mental health and like physical health and hygiene. Yeah.
Yeah. And hygiene, taking a shower almost every day. Oh, yeah. I believe in
it. Well, when I first moved to LA for 6 months, I didn't have like, I had some gigs because I was trying to like get a writer's assistant gig. And I was like doing that and I was applying to jobs and it was fucking depressing, man. Like I would just have my day and I came out here with a person and he would go to work and he'd come back and it'd be like, he'd have a whole day. And like, what did you do? I went to Sprouts.
Then there's a weird guilt, right?
Yeah, there's such weird guilt.
Because like, it happens even now. My wife knows how much money I make a year. I bring an equal amount into the house. But when she comes home, she goes, "What? How was your day?" I'm like, and I find myself like frantically searching for like things I did that I'm like, what am I? I'm like, well, you know, I walked the dog. I did the dishes, like all stuff that she also does when she works full time. Yeah. But all of a sudden I start to realize, I'm like, oh my God, you've been gone for 8 hours working phone calls, meetings. And I did a podcast and met a friend for coffee. I mean,
it's tough.
You can easily justify that that's part of that this career.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, fuck, dude.
It sucks because your day sounds dope. And that sounds amazing. Yeah. And it's so hard to accept that, especially like, and like when you do comedy and you're, or like you're an actor, or you're doing something that's creative, like a lot of it's on your own time. And it's hard to not have a day job, right? So when finally get there where you're like, I don't need to fucking sling, you know, loose leaf tea to fucking pay my rent. And then you finally get there and you're like frustrated with it. Like, oh my God, it's like double-edged sword.
I'm going to throw something to you guys, mental health-wise. If I'm not busy, I feel like I use my busy-ass schedule, which is like, you know, a 50-hour full-time job.
Plus shows all my shit and podcasts.
Yeah. I use that just to like ignore my feelings.
Yeah, just you put know, it all
like
there.
Busy. I'm just so busy. I can't deal with the fact that like all of these thoughts are in my head sometimes.
Right. Well, there's also just like the how's your day, and your answer could always be super busy.
Exactly.
You don't have to analyze anything that happened. You don't have to like deal with stuff. You can just keep saying, sorry, super busy. The positive aspect of being super busy for me is, when, especially in the creative world, when you're like, all right, we got to get together to write. You're like, okay, well, I have these 3 hours.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, me too. And then it's like, we cannot squander these 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because when you're busy. So I find sometimes when I'm actually busy, I'm getting more. My advice to like younger talent or whatever, or writers, whatever, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, keep whatever your day job is as long as they'll let you. Like, you know, if they can give you days off to shoot whatever you book, or if they let you run out for audition, what you fight tooth and nail to hold on to that forever. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I know the goal is to not have that, but I would recommend, like, keep that 6 months after you think you shouldn't have it anymore, just to keep that money and that part of your life in, and then be like fully ready to
fucking. It helps you with structure too. Like, you're like, okay, well, I have Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday off. What am I going to do with those days? Versus like, well, if I don't do it today, I can do it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like, I got to get some writing done today. And you wake up and then you're like, oh, look, there's dishes. Oh, shit, there's...
I have to clean those.
Chores, man, they're such a bummer.
They keep coming back.
You always have to vacuum.
I abuse chores. I use chores as a...
you have a very clean home, so...
As a distraction from doing what I have to do.
I can't write anything. There's dishes in the sink.
Yeah, I used to say, like, they should make a cleaning service that is just writers on deadline. They just show up at your house. Like,
I would fucking do that.
The other thing I do, too, is, like, you know, as you just heard, my wife gets home from work around this time. Yep. Usually the half hour before she gets home is me frantically catching the house up to looking like it was, like, during the... I'm like, what are my flip-flops doing here? And I'm like, I haven't done anything today. And then I'm like, what the fuck? My house is a mess. I did all this. There's dishes in the sink. I didn't do the one small thing I told her I would do, you know? And all of a sudden it's like, how did it get to be 6 p.m.? And I'm like, I can't believe it's already 6 p.m. Babe, I'm sorry. I still have so much work to do. And she's like, I did a full day.
Like, I did all the things. did all the things.
We don't understand because I had to, and then anything I list is something else she does as like part of her. I'm like, oh my well, God. The dog. She's like, I walked him this morning. You're like, right.
I also did that. Yes. I had my entire day and did everything that you did.
And that's what I say to myself too. I'm like, I used to have a full time job and get everything done that I needed to get done.
Yeah.
Now I don't. I have so much more free time and I get the same amount of stuff done, if not less.
Yeah, that's the day goes by so much faster when you're home.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you're just like, and now it's four.
Because you're in your favorite place on earth.
Yeah, you're safe. Yeah. You don't
have to think about it.
You're alone or you're with your dog.
Time shrinks. You know what I mean? Like when you're at work and if it sucks, it can feel like it's forever. When you're on vacation, you can't believe you already have to fly home. But when you're on like day two of a job, you're like, I can't believe I have 4 months left of this. Yeah. It's like such a weird way that your brain just
and then it ends and you're like, no, not yet.
Yeah,
not
no,
yet.
Shit, it's really the end. I didn't even fucking hit on the girl that works at the front desk. Damn.
That's
it.
Always my biggest regret.
I
have to
kiss three girls.
I have to kiss three girls. That's my daily
That's
day
how
job
I make
goal.
My day complete. That's how I know I did something today.
I love flirting with people at my day job. It's like one of my favorite pastime
activities.
That's
like the thing I cannot do.
I will
say, that's because you're in a relationship.
And also everyone in the writer's room is definitely betrothed.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
But
also the current climate in Hollywood.
Right. But flirting is flirting with coworkers is like always allowed. But it's like, it's... Right? As I get like, me too'd right out of here. Wait, who are these guys? Why do they have handcuffs?
I mean, like, there's like, I love a good banter with somebody.
Sensible banter.
You know? And like, doing theater for so long. I used to do musical theater a million years ago, and that is such a different vibe for flirting because usually you end up having sex with the person.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like.
It's massage circle.
Yeah.
It's like
Meisner technique with a blowjob. Yeah. You know what I mean? But now that I'm in like, grown-up jobs, I'm like, oh, no one's sleeping with anybody. That's weird.
I don't know, come work in technology.
Strange. Did we all get over that when we got families of our own?
Yeah, like everybody's married or engaged or has a baby. Okay, I guess I'll just go to work.
Day jobs are nice to have people that don't do comedy in your lives.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I mean, it's different if you work in a writer's room.
I kill every day at my day job.
Everyone probably thinks you're fucking hilarious because like you're going to a place where people aren't expected to be funny, and then you're also funny on top of that.
Oh yeah,
I do bits constantly.
You don't even know what bits are. It's great.
I played rugby in New York City, and I was because I played rugby, I was the funniest. I was like a funny guy at UCB, but I was the funniest on my rugby team.
Killed it.
And because of rugby, I was like the like tough, you know, like the macho guy of UCB, which is a world's tallest midget competition sort of thing. But at the same time, I was like the best of like at a different thing. Like, and it fed my ego so much to be the funniest guy at games and then like show up to and be like, came straight from rugby practice, hurt my face, and everyone's like, badass, man. And I'm like, all right, let's play zigzags up.
I'll take my teeth guard out. Hold on. Yeah. Oh, I'm so cool.
And I was like, but really, I'm just like not a good rugby player or that great of a comedian. But to me, just getting to flip that, like, I was like, the joke people say, like, you know, if you don't make it as a comedian, you'll just be the funniest social media director that ever worked in tech.
Social media manager. Don't put me up higher than I need to be.
Now I'm saying down the road, something to raise.
Something to aim for.
Climb that ladder,
Did you guys watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon?
I have not, but my wife loved it.
It was amazing, but there's this whole section where she, you know, she's doing the stand-up circuit in New York, and there's this episode where she's like, I'm just doing parties. And she would go to parties, and she would just do her routine at parties, and people loved it. That's how I feel every day at work. And
that
sometimes,
you're
like
at a party, and
yeah, I just feel like it's
literally.
You got
a solid five.
Yeah, I've got like a solid work five. I've got a solid technology startup five.
Oh yeah, I like kill with my wife's coworkers.
You know what I mean? Sure,
like,
you
they're funny people, of course, but I'm like. That they're like, oh, yeah, I'm like a pro, and it's unfair, and I come in, and I'm like, just like I love that. I love those moments. In-laws, kill with in-laws.
I rock. I do real great with in-laws. I do really well with doctors. Doctors
do you really?
Love me. Yeah. I kill it. I kill it with doctors.
I mean, like, I have a terminal disease, so I get to see a lot of them,
like,
but it's so great for me to
see them
sense
like
humor,
every week when I go in for my treatment, and they love it.
When I go
in
my
usually,
lithium, I crack these guys up.
They don't expect it. They don't expect it. But yeah, so those are my two. I went, I'm recently engaged.
Right, congratulations.
Oh my God, thank you.
Was the proposal a special proposal?
Oh, it was. It was.
Jackie was there, no.
I love proposal stories, if you're willing to share.
Sure, I could totally share. We went to Joshua Tree. And we were watching the sunrise in bed from like all the windows that were in this like little hut that we were in that was really beautiful. And oh, he kind awesome. Of, well, to in reality, he like sat down and he said, I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast. He was like, well, I really like going on adventures with you. And my response was, oh, yeah. And then he pulled out a fucking ring. Like, I made fun of him as he was proposing to me. I was like, bah, bah, bah. Like, I don't know how to handle people being nice to me. So I just make noises at them that make them sound stupid.
No, that's actually a good personality trait to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like to make fun of people who show affection mechanism. To you.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. But
don't
finish
that compliment. I'm a monster.
The worst. Like, that's... So that's kind of... I started making fun of him. And then he asked me to marry him. And I was like, all right. Well, actually, I said, are you really doing this right now? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, of course. But I felt bad that I was making fun of him. But you know what? Hey, it's all right.
That's
we know each other really well. So it's fine. I think it was to be expected that I would be awkward. Yeah.
What a weird brag about a fiance. Actually, me and my fiance, we sort of know each other pretty well.
Some people get engaged after like only knowing each other for, you know,
a year.
Well, actually, Jackie.
I was engaged.
She was.
I was about to say, the way you raise your hand.
Yeah.
I'd like to volunteer the information of 1 year.
One year and at Burning Man. Not sober.
Joshua Tree, Burning Man.
So you know who you're dealing with.
Girls I was inviting into my house.
Yeah, man. We're cool.
We're cool. We do the hip things.
We do the hip thing. But yeah.
What's your engagement story?
Yeah. What did you do?
My wife said, "This is a fucking disaster."
Yeah, I like her already.
I sort of proposed out of spite, which is kind of like a weird place. We had been drinking all night and eating, and she loves to mention that we were eating literally hot dogs and cheesy tater tots at like Gowanus Yacht Club on Smith Street in Brooklyn.
Oh my gosh.
And we got shit-faced. We got in a sort of argument on the way home. One of those like relationship arguments where both of you take sides of two different people
and you
kind of have a proxy fight via like another couple.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, well, to be fair, he is while she, and then like, wait, now we're fighting their fight on the way home. One of those kind of arguments. Mm-hmm. We got over it and we kind of got home and it was sort of like, we were kind of like a little huffy with each other. And I was like, I've been sitting on this engagement ring waiting to have a romance, like,
a romantic moment.
Yeah, but when we've been together before I proposed to her for 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, if we were to go on like a romantic dinner,
I knew.
Would be like obvious.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew.
So, yeah.
I knew.
I knew. I still went, are you doing this? And I know, I can't stop myself.
No, I couldn't. Like, as he's pulling out this ring box, it's verbal vomit.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're an asshole. You're the worst human. Yeah, it was bad. But you know, like, it was the only 2 days off in a row that I had, and we were in Joshua Tree. I'm like, this shit's happening.
I knew you were getting engaged the minute
you
told me.
We all knew. Yeah. I literally
You'd been together for a long time? You guys have been
7 years.
7 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it'll
nice.
Be eight by the time we get married. Which Ooh, is so,
fantastic.
You know, we wanted to like get it to be a round number.
Yeah,
eight,
that's fair.
Even, but finish even? Your story. You've
yes,
proposed
yes,
to her.
Sorry,
oh, so I have,
in spite.
I have an engagement ring that I know she likes because we saw it at the same vintage store in Red Hook.
Oh, my God.
And I
love Red Hook.
I went
Those
back
key lime pies. That key lime pie.
Steve's key lime pies. Yes.
So good.
So fucking good.
So fucking good.
I lived right near there. And I went into where I hid it, and I got the ring, and Tiff was in the bathroom, and
oh
so I got Arthur, and I put the ring on his collar,
Aww.
Which we had just taken off because we walked him, and then Tiff comes out of the bathroom, and she's in her underwear and bra.
Perfect.
And I'm like, can you take Artie's collar off? And she's like, I took it off already. And I was like, can you take it off again? And we're like still a little huffy with each other, and she like goes over to get it, and she's like, oh my God, are you serious? This is a fucking disaster. And she's a big lighting nut. Like, all our lights have dimmers, as you can tell.
Sure.
Like,
the lighting in this room alone.
Yeah. And she's the one who told me I'm not allowed to put this on when I have guests.
I'm the same exact
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Oh, my
she's
God.
She's so good. She's so good at that. And she's like, the overhead lighting is on. I'm in my period underwear. And which, for the record, for male listeners who might not know, that doesn't mean it's underwear that has period stuff on it. It means just this is like, underwear I'm willing to ruin if it shit goes down.
Yeah, it's like not your best.
Yeah, you're not wearing your cutest during those 3 to 5 days or whatever.
Seven.
Five.
12.
Knock it off at 5. I do not let it go. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're those like, last two.
We got to sew this shit up.
Wrap it up, sweetheart.
Wrap it up.
Take an anticoagulant. Let's go.
Let's go. Come on.
A couple of blood thinners. Let's get this thing over with.
Put on those cute panties. Let's go.
And she was like, this is a disaster. And I was like, I'm like, but? And she's like, but yes. But like,
you know what? I feel like
so cute.
Because it's so, you're together so long, you're like, when is a good time? It's and it's like it's you live together and it's just
right.
Like,
if I
let's
were to be
just
like,
do this.
Hey, do you want to go to that fancy restaurant we always talk about? Even though your husband, your boyfriend's an unemployed actor, and we're living well beyond our means in Carroll Gardens. So I'm like, let's go to this expensive restaurant and like maybe get a bottle of wine. It's like I'm so obviously going to propose.
Sure. It's also like I could not do it in. I had mentioned a couple of things. I was like, I don't want it in a public space. We actually met at a day job. Bringing it back in Times Square, I used to hand out flyers. It was miserable.
Oh shit! Did you have to dress up as a character?
No, but I did have a couple of outfits.
I
had a couple of signs. I had a couple.
Wait, the way you said that, I had so many connotations.
I was not. A Chicago girl. So people who are not familiar with New York, Chicago is a show. It's a Broadway show, and these girls dress up in like leotards and shit, and like pass out.
You're like
flyers.
Showgirls, more or less. Yeah.
I wasn't one of those, but I did have to wear like a sign I promoted for Avenue Q, and it said, wearing the sign sucks, but Avenue Q doesn't. And it would fly up and hit people in the face. It was awful. It was bad.
Oh, I've had so many of those jobs.
It's just, it's the worst. But I met my fiance from it. So I was like, well,
that's
it was
awesome.
Worth it.
He was also a street teamer.
He was a street teamer. We weren't on the same team. But you know,
we would run into each other when we picked up the flyers.
Yeah, exactly. Like I would just kind of find myself standing next to him. But I also was like, ew, gross. No, I don't want to date that guy. I could tell he wants to date me. And I'm like super not into it. I'm independent. Mm-hmm. And then he left for like a week to go home for Thanksgiving. And I was like, where the fuck did that guy go?
Oh, I missed that attention.
Oh, my God.
I missed that attention.
That other guy. And then I was just like, oh, sure. Like, why not? And then after that, I was like, we should go on a date. And that was kind of it. But luckily enough. So I said to him, because a lot of people are like, when I get engaged, let's go to the place where we met. I'm like, fuck no,
Times Square.
Fuck
next to Bubba
place.
Gum Shrimp.
Yeah,
yeah, right by the red stairs where it all.
I don't think Tiff could have gone to Communication Principles 101,
nice.
Which is where we met.
Very romantic. That's
the
place
teacher's
to
day.
Be.
Just go to his grave. Get his body exhumed.
Dearest Dr. Jenny Kindred.
Yeah, I did not want to do it in a public space. And I also said
I didn't
like,
want to do family stuff.
You did or you did
didn't.
Not?
I didn't
no,
want
neither
to do
did
like family. I didn't want to be like.
I don't like attention, ironically enough, that like here we are.
Oh, personal attention?
Like
people
attention,
who love
like
you.
Actual,
no,
yeah,
I don't want that.
That. Fuck
yeah.
That.
No, I want the attention of strangers.
Yes.
I just want the validation from people who don't know me.
Yeah. I want them to like me.
I need more people to tell me I'm funny. I appreciate that you think I'm funny, babe, but I need strangers.
Yeah.
I know you think I'm funny. Yeah. I need to win over everyone.
Strangers.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
Because you know who will come to your funeral.
Strangers.
I think you're funny.
They'll be there on your deathbed.
Hopefully all my listeners will be at my funeral. Hope you're free January 2020.
Oh, wow.
It's coming up. Put it in your calendars, guys. It's coming up.
Yeah, I just have to just check on my iCal. Oh, January 8th, 2020. I'm sorry.
I'm busy that day. So sorry. But also,
fine,
we know
but
each
I know
other
you
now.
I don't care. I don't care for your opinion about me.
No worries.
I know you like me.
Yeah.
That's
obviously.
How I feel. I'm so narcissistic at the same time where I'm like, oh, I know they like me. I need to find out. I need to make people who might not like me like me.
I'm the same fucking way. The minute someone does not like me, I'm obsessed with why they don't like me and the means by which I can go and get them to like me.
How can you like me?
Favorite thing is someone who is not gonna laugh.
Oh,
in a non-comedy setting, like someone who's just won't give up a laugh, or they're just kind of like not having it, like a waiter or like someone. And I'll be like to my wife, I'll be like, I'm gonna crack this motherfucker open.
Like,
and
I know I
can do it. I have like, I know I can do it to anyone. I have like,
do you
I'm
have
not
a
afraid
certain,
to try?
Do
is
you
what
have certain
is.
Things that are you're like, I'm gonna pull out.
I'm
this
a
joke.
Monster of self-deprecation that can like people who aren't familiar with it. I can really, I can if they don't laugh, they would go like, you shouldn't say that about yourself. At least, like, I can at least get them to say that, you know?
Oh, I love
when you tell, like, a waiter at a steakhouse that you have a little dick, and you're like, they're like, okay,
like a baby
man.
Parent.
I'm like, give up the laugh.
Did you have a parent or a family member who did not laugh easy? Because I did.
I had two very distant parents who didn't pay, like, not even not laugh at me, just, like, didn't pay attention. Like, yeah.
I was alone all the time. That'll do it.
I sought attention from my teachers and classmates all through school. I was a problem.
I haven't fixed it.
I was going to say, I paid you for, you know. I'm sort being of like a quiet person when you were a kid.
You know, like when a little, like a young man is like violent, or yes, and they teach him to box, to use your anger to, like, I used my desire to get attention from, I switched it from negative to positive and, like, turn it into being a performer.
Yeah.
Weaponize your insane narcissism and desperate need I have for attention. I've weaponized it. I've monetized it.
You have monetized
it. By any means.
My day job is being a broken emotional person.
It's just so great, though. I love a nice broken person.
I mean, yeah.
Who can talk about it.
They're the funniest. They're delightful. They're very friendly.
They make you feel better about yourself.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, why I surround myself with them, because I hate myself. So I'm just like, all right.
I can go home every night and go, well, I'm not as fucked up as Jackie Ray.
Yeah, really. That's why we actually work together so much.
I engaged at Burning Man.
I got engaged at Joshua Tree,
not Burning Man, like that freak.
Whatever. We were definitely not high.
We only had a little bit of ayahuasca as opposed to what you were on over there.
Yeah.
Not ayahuasca. I don't think you can, like, see when you're on ayahuasca.
Yeah, no, I think you're out.
I think you're just vomiting, right?
You just go into your brain, you don't see anything that's in front of you.
That shit scares me.
I want to do it so bad.
They say, like, a lot of people say that it's like you see all of your worst moments and then, like, have a breakthrough. I want to ignore my worst moments.
Someone on our pod.
I think about them as I go to sleep every fucking night. I don't need to take a drug for it.
Stand-up comedian Skylar Stone on our podcast, who did ayahuasca. Now he's been sober for like 10 months.
Yeah,
like, he talked about it, and it was, like, intense.
He did, like, several different drugs in
Mexico. He did rape, he did ayahuasca, he did shrooms, and then he did DMT, I think.
Yeah, which is the active ingredient in ayahuasca, I believe.
Yes.
But that's wild. I think I saw, like, a Vice document. This is, like, the whitest response you could say to anything.
I believe I saw a Vice documentary.
I saw a Vice documentary about using ayahuasca to kick addiction of, like, opiates and heroin and stuff. And I was like, that's so fucking interesting.
I mean, I don't want to quit my weed, but
I would love to. I don't want to quit my heroin, but.
I'm not giving up black tar.
I'm on the horse, baby. I would love to try that stuff. I don't think as, like, someone... I need like my wife's blessing to do something like that in case it cracks me open. I have a blessing. I have a blessing for shrooms because it's not a big deal.
Have you never done them before?
I've never done
them.
Neither have I. Guys, let's go to Joshua Tree.
Guilty pleasure.
Do it. There you go.
Shrooms is like the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. It's just great.
You hear more bad edible stories than you hear bad shroom stories.
That's the only.
You hear a lot of bad acid stories.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear a lot of great acid stories.
I have a bad acid story.
Yeah.
It's great. There's like certain things that I just want to have a good time. Like, that's my thing. And I came from like Catholic school upbringing from like second grade through college. And I was just like, all drugs are going to make me want
to
rip
my face
off.
Is LaSalle a Catholic college?
DeSales, yeah.
Oh, DeSales, sorry.
But there's a LaSalle, so it makes sense. Yeah.
I went to a Catholic college as well.
Oh, God.
What college did you go to?
I went to Marist College in Poughkeepsie.
Ooh,
oh, gotcha.
Just near Vassar and New Paltz.
Around
that area. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Did you?
I was not a religious. My mom, in hindsight, picked all these schools that were both. I was a 17-year-old kid. I was like, I don't give a fuck about any of this. I was just being my stupid, rebellious self. Me and my wife talk about this all the time. It's like, we were so like, I don't care. I just want to go. She kind of wanted to go to a different school. Her mom made her go to like a local school, and that like she had transferred to Marist sophomore year. Thank God.
Hey.
But for me, my mom was like, these are the schools my friends' kids are going to, and they're so nice and they're beautiful, and they're all under 3 hours away from Long Island. And in hindsight, now I notice that they're all three. You know, we looked at like Scranton, Siena, Marist, Delaware. They were all literally like a perfect circle. Like if it was like a serial killer profile, you'd be like, the person must be from Long Island. All these schools are 3 hours away. Yeah.
It was, yeah. I mean, like my, like I said, I gave, this is just because I hate myself so much, really. I went to one school. I auditioned for one school. It was a school that I was already familiar with. And I was just like, that's it. I didn't apply to anything else but that.
You went to a Catholic performing arts school?
It was
all they did was Jesus Christ Superstar.
It was, yeah, that's all we did. We did Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar and Doubt because, you know, we're edgy like that.
Wait, no, Jesus Christ Superstar isn't the name of the thing. It's
That's the name of it? Yeah, it's pretty on the nose.
Did you do Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
I did not. I've never done that, but we did actually do Godspell, which is a bitch of a show. And I never have to do it again now. Hooray!
Yay! Hey! Don't never say never.
Never say never, right.
Broadway like, could come a calling.
You never know. They might just be like, hey,
this is Godspell.
Like,
will you street team for us? No!
That was always like the goal. You're like, I'm a street teamer, and then one day I'll be up on that board. And then I was just like, fuck this, I'm out. Like, yeah. Nope, I'm out. But yeah, I mean, like that school, I was so bad at school, and I have like so many weird learning disabilities and stuff like that. So,
so many.
Like, I got the gambit. I got all of them.
I can walk and talk, which is great. So I was like, cool, I'll do theater.
If it's three or four letters in a row, I have.
I'm fucked. If it's three or four, I'm that's about it. And then if it's after that, I'm like, oh well, I can't read that word, so wah, wah. I guess you know, whatever. But I mean, like, I just didn't believe in myself at all, and I just went to that one school and sat in my room.
Oh, okay.
so that you know, which explains the like why I do what I do now. I feel like I'm just like I have to be around people all the time.
It makes
I have
sense.
To be busy. All the time. I can be mean about myself all the time now, and people enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's not sad when you can be self-deprecating around other people. It's weird to be self-deprecating alone.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
weird to like grab Arthur and go like, how small is my dick? He's like, yeah,
he's
plenty like, small too.
It's like, it's small.
It's pretty
you
small.
The door open.
Yeah, we're pretty similar, and I'm a dog, and I'm 20 pounds, and you're 300. That's funny you say that. When I first moved, when I was like, not having a day job in New York, mm-hmm. I was fine with that. You're like, I have to go to get my coffee. I walk around, see people on the streets.
You'd be
New
out
York's
and about.
The best for that.
Yeah.
Dude.
When I moved here, the first year, and especially because it was my first year here, I didn't have a schedule or routine. I didn't have a gym I liked. I didn't have a local coffee shop to go to. Yeah. I didn't have that many jobs because I was new to the city. And that first like year and a half was hard.
Yeah.
I would go to like an audition at 4 o'clock and they were coming few and far between, but I'd go at like 4 o'clock and realize I'm talking out loud for the first time today. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just talk to myself all the time.
Yeah. Did you, you moved here with your wife?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's huge. That's nice. That's a very good feeling to move to
it's
with
very,
someone.
This LA is very isolating. I've never met
it's
anybody
so easy
who
to be alone
hasn't said that.
You don't ever get on a subway with 50 strangers.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
I feel like everyone who came here from New York always gets a dog. Every person I know, most people I know who moved from the East Coast to Los Angeles owned fucking dogs. Because they were so lonely when they got here.
It's really crazy. When I first moved here.
Also, if you're moving from New York to LA, like, it never snows. It's easier to walk. You're like, oh, fuck.
You
it's
don't
great
to
walk
take
a dog.
Them out.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah. Or you have a slightly bigger place or the street is not covered in garbage and chicken bones or whatever.
Or you're not going up 5 flights. Exactly.
Dude, we trained him for his last walk of the day to just run all the way down by himself, and we would call him from like the stairs. He would go pee on the fire hydrant in front of him because we lived in a fourth floor walk up, and I could not do it.
I live in a fifth floor walk up in Manhattan, man.
But sorry, Amanda, I cut you off.
Well, I was just saying, like, it's just isolating. That's all. It's like,
it is
integrating. I mean,
you get out of your house into your car.
Or, like, when we moved here, we didn't even have a car. So it was just, and I lived in Park La Brea. And if you're familiar with Park La Brea, it's this huge complex.
Oh, that's the one by the Grove,
like,
right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it took me 8 minutes to just walk out of that complex.
We looked there when we were looking at apartments. We had never seen anything like that.
It's
coming
wild.
From New York.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, this is a way to live. We didn't want an apartment. We thought for sure we'd get something that felt less like an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We were completely misguided. We were like, we're not taking a place that doesn't have a yard and a dishwasher. We have a great Brooklyn apartment. We're not giving up anything.
Yeah.
We came here and we're like, oh, we can't afford shit. Everyone, like, we were like brainwashed and being like, LA is much cheaper. And
it's not much. It's like $20 cheaper.
It is like equally. Yeah. And now it's arguably just as bad.
It's
You can just have a little bit more for the same price.
I have two closets and one you can walk in now.
Well, I can live I can live by myself out here. I couldn't do that in New York City. I had a studio for, I mean, it's still a lot, but
but still,
it's still, but it's, it's still you, if with some heavy searching, you can find something, which is nice. And even like, even, I mean, I've lived in apartments with several people.
Oh, yeah.
Several in New York. Oh, and it's so nice to just have one bedroom and two people.
Oh, my first apartment in New York was a loft where they built, they built my bedroom. Two of the bedrooms were lofted, where the ceilings were like 18 feet high, like 16 feet high, and so, two of the bedrooms were like 4 feet off the ground. Like, we had our dining room, you couldn't stand in, you had to like sit into it because it was underneath my bedroom, and my bedroom, you couldn't, I couldn't stand all the way up in, my wife could, but it was all like, we only had like a 6 foot ceiling
in
my
bedroom. Did you guys live together?
No, I lived with two other dudes who also lived in pods like that. Our living room was underneath my one of my roommates. In one apartment. It was built.
How is that even allowed?
It's not legal. Two tree houses. Like, you had to go up like a little ladder to get into my room. And
no way.
Literally,
did you have a door?
I had no door on my my little cubby. I had a curtain.
My cubby.
Yeah. And then the third room, the third room wasn't a cubby. It was a floor to ceiling room, but the bed was 8 feet in the air.
I'm so glad you were with your wife.
Oh, so it was one of those like those
super high lofted beds.
I had my fifth floor walk up. I had literally 3 feet of walking space in my entire bedroom. Oof. Because my full-size bed took up most of it. But the person who lived there before me had a loft bed. And I was like, I am not sleeping on a loft bed.
Yeah, after going up five floors, you don't want to go up another half of one just to go to sleep.
No.
Also, like, loft beds make me nervous.
They should.
They make me nervous. I had a bunk bed.
No one's
going to
have sex with you in a loft bed.
You guys are tiny humans. Like, that's less scary. I would never get in a loft bed.
I don't think I'm a tiny human. Do you think I'm a tiny human?
Well, yeah, you all are compared to me.
Okay, sure.
Fair enough.
I'm tall. I'm like 5'9".
Oh, yeah, you are tall.
I'm tall, yeah.
All the friends, I'm actually one of the shortest people that I know here in Los Angeles personally, but in New York, I was one of the tallest.
I was a giant in New York, especially in Queens. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
living in Queens and being 5'9" and white makes you stand out so insane. Like,
no, it's really
in Flushing,
true.
Not being Asian and being a giant blonde woman. Yeah.
My entire family still lives there. Literally all in the 90s, all of my friends, all of my white friends moved to Long Island and my parents like didn't get the memo.
He didn't know.
And they're still there, man. And like, I'll go visit and it's like, people will look at me like, oh, is that a new white girl who just moved into the neighborhood? And it's like, no.
Their alarm starts going, no. Whoop. Like, people are like contacting neighbors, like getting cans out. Yeah. Giant white girl just arrived.
Soon enough, there'll be a Starbucks.
Should we go to her house with pitchforks and torches?
Yeah.
No, she's the white girl's monster, remember?
Yeah.
Guys, well, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and talking sort of about day jobs.
Sort of. But I love it.
I had a great time.
It was fun.
Tangents are not only allowed, they're encouraged here at High and Mighty.
That is what your PDF said.
We had a lovely time.
Yeah, that's what my PDF said. I'm working, I'm getting pretty.
Look at you go.
You know the career is going not so great when you're really doubling down on your podcast prep on episode 150.
I can't wait.
Time to write up a PDF for my guests.
If you want to get real fancy, you can do a Google Doc.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
That was a Google Doc, but I saved it as a PDF.
This way no one can edit it.
Yeah, I don't want anyone touching this. I don't want anyone sharing my address around. I guess it's in the PDF, so now you can forward
that to I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on the Instagram.
Speaking of social media, why don't you guys tell us the name of your, a little bit about Guilty Pleasures podcast?
Sure.
This is the plug portions.
Ooh. Plug away.
Guilty Pleasure is the podcast that celebrates. Oh, fuck you.
I'll say it.
She does this part.
I'll do it.
I'm in the middle of it and I know I don't know the end.
Hi, I'm Amanda Salvatore.
And I'm Jackie Ray Arbell.
And this is Guilty Pleasure, the podcast that celebrates, elaborates, and experiences our odd interests. Oh, see, I fucked it up.
It's okay.
Been doing it for a year, but fuck it.
Basically, our podcast.
That's a good sell for people to listen to it if you guys can't rip out the intro on your
own. If we could do it.
But basically, we have guests on and they talk about their guilty pleasure of choice. It's a topic they're passionate about. So past topics include Keanu Reeves, LARPing, Burning Man, stuff like that. So yeah, it's they cool. We talk with them for about an hour. If you listen to the first few episodes, we talk for a whole hour. But more recently, we started doing this GPIRL segment where we experience it. So last week's episode, Amanda and I both recorded ourselves eating McDonald's in the shower and put it up at the tail end of the episode.
Yeah, because that's a thing. And it was
disgusting.
I will say I didn't know I had a fetish, but thank you for alerting me to one. I was like,
that's something you can do to structure
food,
your
girls,
day.
Shower?
What?
That hits like the three important things.
Check out our pod, and then Amanda and I also perform at least once a month with the Vanities, which is our sketch team.
Yeah, and that's at
the Ruby LA.
So, formerly known as Nerdist School. It's on Sunset Boulevard,
Sunset and Gardner, and we perform the second Saturday of every month at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Excellent, guys. That's fucking awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Listen to Guilty Pleasures, or listen to listen to my other podcasts, Action Boys on Patreon and Raised by TV, also on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Premium. I'm at Gabrus on Twitter. Throw out your social medias if you're comfortable sharing. But
oh, sure. Yeah. Instagram, Jackie is awesome, JACKIE. ISAWUESOME. I spell it weird.
Oh. I can't read that because it's more than four letters. So I've never known what your handle. I have no idea what that is. And I think I'm on Instagram. I don't do.
You're like Amanda Salvatore 002, right?
902.
902.
So now you know my birthday.
But also Guilty Pleasure Podcast as the Instagram. You can find us both there.
That's the one we actually put shit on. So
okay. Well, check. One. Follow that and. Thank you again, guys. Do I have anything else I'm supposed to do at the end of this?
Do you need to plug your shows? Are you going to be places you want people to find you at?
I don't need any of these freaks to listen to this shit. I already got them right where I want them, listening to High and Mighty. Do me a favor. Everyone that's listening to this episode right now, tell a friend to listen to this podcast. And I should have double the amount of listeners next week. And if I don't, I'm coming back for you motherfuckers.
Do it.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.